The big news from Albany today is no news. The Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett is here with the non-scoop. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So the state legislature is scrambling toward its adjournment for the year on Thursday. We just heard on the newscast the big thing that did get done, the Justice Center for people living in group homes for folks with disabilities. But some big pieces of business may not get completed that were much anticipated. Check my list here. Does this include how much to release public school teacher evaluations to parents and the public?
Yes.
The decriminalization of displaying small amounts of marijuana?
Looks like it's going nowhere.
A bullying bill inspired by the suicide of Rutgers student Tyler Clemente?
No, that's going. Matter of fact, I think that may have passed last night.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, we'll come back to that. And one that I just heard about this morning, that there's talk of a raise for the lawmakers. Is that being discussed?
It's not being discussed, but the feeling is that after the elections, you will see one. And it's not just for lawmakers, but also for agency commissioners that Governor Cuomo controls.
And I guess lawmakers haven't had a raise since 1999, so they feel that after they get the state legislature elections out of the way in November, this is the time to come back and not have too much backlash?
Right, because a sitting legislature cannot give itself a pay raise.
Ah.
So if they don't do it this year, they have to wait at least another 2 years to get it done.
All right. And if we have time in this segment, maybe we'll come back and ask, what is the right amount for a New York State legislature to make? But let's talk about some of these and what's at stake. First, the bullying bill. You tell me this may have gotten passed last night. What would New York State do that's new with respect to bullying?
Well, for the first time, it would define what cyberbullying is. It would make it part of the Dignity for All Students Act, and basically it would define it as if you send harassing or menacing text messages, emails, other kind of social site postings, and continue to do it. It would require school districts to basically come up with a protocol and designate an official to handle complaints, investigate complaints, and then deal with it. What it does not do, however, which some did want, but it was controversial, it does not criminalize cyberbullying. Senator Jeff Klein, a Democrat from the Bronx, had wanted to make it a misdemeanor to do it. Others said, how are you going to do that when you're dealing with 14 and 15-year-olds? Is that the right way to go? So instead, they just did kind of a protocol, an educational component. Districts are going to have to teach kids about bullying and the effects of it and about trying to be civil, but there will be no criminal aspect to it. It was announced over the weekend. I believe they passed it yesterday.
All right. Let's go on to teacher evaluations. Here is the governor on WOR yesterday saying it's okay if it doesn't get done right now.
Nothing that we have left, frankly, is that urgent that it can't more time, and frankly wouldn't be better with more time. So the question of disclosure with teacher evaluations, my instinct is we have time.
So that was yesterday afternoon, but then I saw your story this morning, Ken, about the governor proposing a new version of teacher evaluation public releases just before 12 o'clock last night. Why was he burning the Albany midnight oil on teacher evaluations?
Well, the reason you heard that yesterday was a deadline is there's a thing called that you have to put in a bill that has to age for 3 days before lawmakers could act on it. So the government,
which is generally a good government provision, right, to help ensure that lawmakers at least read a bill before they vote on it. So that also gives the press and the public time to see what's in a bill, special interest provisions that are crammed in there or something like that, before they can just rush it into law.
Exactly. So what happened was the legislature is ending its session on Thursday. So in order to get a bill that can be voted on Thursday, he had to have it in by midnight last night, by 11:59 last night, and which is what he did. Now, a governor can waive the three-day requirement. It's called a message of necessity, meaning we really need to get this bill done. I'm waiving the three-day period. You can vote on it immediately. However, the governor took heat for using that earlier in the year excessively. So now at the end of session, he says, I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to offer up messages of necessity. That's not what I'm inclined to do. We got to get it all done. So the feeling was, when he went on David Patterson's show yesterday, that it's done. They're not going to get a deal together. And surprise, surprise, at 11:59, it's almost like the best way I can describe it is at the end of a soccer game when you think it's over and the ref puts time back on the clock for penalty minutes.
So the penalty minutes, according to your article, included this. The governor's plan would allow full public release of teacher evaluations, except for one thing. The teachers' names would not be attached. Then what would they be disclosing?
Basically, you would be able to see, if you're somebody living in the area, you would be able to see how the second-grade teachers at PS 40 are doing, but you won't know how the individual instructors are doing. You might know how the entire school is doing. Is it a good school? Do the teachers have good ratings? But you wouldn't have names attached, except if you're a parent. If you're a parent, you would be able to get the name, you would be able to get the specific evaluations of your kids' teachers only. What they're trying to do is keep it from becoming public anywhere, a list of teachers and then ratings and rankings. They just don't want to do that. That's something the mayor would like, but the unions and the legislature and even the governor says that they're trying to balance the right to privacy for the teachers with the parents' right to know. So that's what this is, the governor's plan. He presented it to the legislature Sunday night, and they rejected it.
Same plan?
So pretty much the same plan. So what he did now was he put it in. He put his, this is on record, this is what I believe we should do. It keeps the clock running because now they've got 3 days to negotiate. And if they come up with changes to his bill, theoretically they can pass his bill on Thursday. And then either he gives them a message of necessity to pass an amendment, a chapter amendment it's called, to put the changes into effect, or they agree to come back later in the year and pass those changes they agreed on. But this allows the process to keep moving forward toward the end of the session.
Now, parents, teachers, we could take your calls on this since this is being negotiated right now, and who knows, there may be a law by Thursday. What do you think is right here? Teachers are public employees. But in most other workplaces, public or private, individual personnel records are not public material. The Cuomo plan, as you just heard, would allow parents to see their children's own teachers' evaluations. Other than that, the names would not be attached, though anybody could see how the teachers on a particular grade level did or in a particular school, as Ken was just describing. What do you think is right here? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Ken, am I right that the Cuomo plan would allow parents to see their own teachers' evaluations and take notes about them, but not make copies, and then promise to keep them somewhat confidential? How much of that is in there?
Pretty much. That is what the governor would like to do. He also is going to make it available easier for parents where they can request it by email. They don't. Originally, what the unions had proposed was that it would only be made available by appointment with the school principal. Now, Mayor Bloomberg had warned that if you do that, you can end up with two things. One, you can have teachers who, penalize kids whose parents decide to come in and see it, or you have parents using the threat of the evaluations and going public with different things to help get their kids better grades.
The evaluations themselves will be based on a formula, part standardized test scores of the class, part observation and subjective evaluation by the principals. So what would parents actually see? Just a number or a letter grade? Or would they also see some narrative description of a teacher's job performance? What would a parent actually see?
Well, that's going to be the question. I believe under this you would see the entire one, but that's going to be the big question. I have not gone through the entire bill yet because it just came out at 11:59 last night.
Right.
But I basically...
Come on, Ken. It's 10:15.
It was hard enough writing it at midnight. But, no, but basically what they would definitely see is the ranking, which is, qualified, unqualified. They wouldn't use those words, but there will be a word, a definition of what they are. And they would certainly see that. The other thing is that parents, with them, the question is, what happens? Can they go and post their own things on the Internet? There's nothing to stop them from doing it, but they'll be discouraged from doing it.
Sure. Some of us were wondering here today, which is worse for a teacher, to have anyone be able to look at a searchable personnel file database and see whatever's in there, or have parents come out of these private sessions with their own impressions and start gossiping to other parents, this teacher is bad. Oh, you're going into the eighth grade next year with your kid. That eighth grade math or science or English teacher, the report really didn't look good for that one. And then it's just based on their own take and what they think they saw.
Well, you can end up with a really high-stakes game of telephone. Say the principal, well, now they're not going to have to meet with the principal, but the thinking was, because the principal didn't want it by appointment only, because say the principal said something to the effect of, well, the teacher needs to improve communication skills with the student. Then the parent goes home and goes, the teacher's yelling at our kids.
Right.
It could become that kind of situation. So it is tricky, but, there is a real belief that the public should, A, have a right to know, or parents certainly, what their kids, who their teachers are and how they're rating. And, there's also an argument that the mayor makes that having evaluations out there could help improve the system in terms of you'll know who needs help. They'll have to work harder to improve their performance knowing that it's going to be public.
Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News, with us talking about business getting done and not getting done as the state legislature crashes toward the end of its session on Thursday, and we're lingering for a bit on this one piece of business. Governor Cuomo introduced late last night a teacher evaluation release bill to make it possible for parents to see individual teacher reports on their job performance, and for grade-wide or school-wide reports without teachers' names attached to be more publicly released. 212-433-WNYC. With your opinion on how this should work, 212-433-9692, with the possibility that they'll actually come up with a bill and pass it by Thursday. Mike in Shoreham, you're on WNYC. Mike, thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you for having me. My concern is this. I think it's a step in the right direction, but it's really a lot of, I would say, political whitewash, because nothing is going to get changed, although it's a step in the right direction. We're not going to have access to any of the proper information. And, like, for example, myself, I wanted to have my son's high school guidance counselor changed. And the principal of the school absolutely said, no way, can't be done. And I said, well, why not? Why can't we go and agree to disagree and let's change it for the better? And he just absolutely refused to do it. So I can't comprehend why we can't have an evaluation where it's accessible to all the people.
Would you rather, as a parent, have an evaluation that you're just able to read, or would you rather have it, as Ken was describing from an earlier version, where the principal, you would actually have to make an appointment with the principal, and then the principal would interpret it for you?
Well, here's what happens. I went in that direction, but what happens is the teacher that is in question, in this case a guidance counselor, they're setting a stage. Of course, when I go up to the school and have a sit-down conference, they're going to tell everything the way they see it, and they're going to yes me to death. So, but even though the scores and the evaluation show that this person, this guidance counselor, is substandard, they're just going to yes you to death. And to answer your question, I would rather, it was a different forum.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it. Rick in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I have to say at the outset that I think the whole idea of teacher evaluations is a ridiculous one. If you want to evaluate education, you have to evaluate the administrators. The administrators need to be taking a whole lot more responsibility for what the teachers are doing. Just to evaluate teachers is only one part of the equation. There are parents involved and there are students involved. The classic example is homework. You know, there are two parts of it, right? You have to do it, you have to turn it in. And if the kids are not held accountable, and if the parents and the supporting families are not there for the kids, then the lack of education is not predicated on what the teacher is doing, but on the whole of the education system.
Right. But advocates for the evaluations would say, well, that would be taken into account. And the teacher's not going to be evaluated by the principal on the basis of things that the teacher can't control, but rather things that the teacher can control. Maybe standardized test scores not entirely withstanding, because that would be a part of the evaluation that's somewhat in the teacher's control and somewhat not, as you say. Presumably that a teacher evaluation could be written in such a way that it would address those uncertainties. You don't think it could ever be done?
I'm extremely leery of this. My wife's been teaching in public schools for 20 years, and if you want to find out how good a teacher she is, then you should probably talk to the students that she has had and to the parents of the students that she has had. I think that's the best way to get an evaluation. Further, if you're just looking at standardized test scores, we all know that it does nothing other than allow people to look at scores, and whoever can teach to the test is going to teach to the test.
Rick,
I don't think the whole idea is fair.
Thank you very much. One thing I don't know, Ken, about this evaluation system, the high-stakes standardized tests are in math and language arts. How does a social studies teacher get evaluated? How does a science teacher get evaluated if the formula is supposed to include X percent standardized tests, but there are no standardized tests?
Well, and there's a part of the reason the governor said we don't have to get things done this week on this issue, because the districts are now going to be charged with coming up with their own local evaluation process that will have to be signed off by the State Department of Education commissioner. So they will say you can use these kinds of tests, or you'll develop these tests, and then they will be able to do it in that regard. But, you know, it's going to be a while, because they have until January to come up with an evaluation system. So far, the city and the unions have not been able to do it. They've been fighting. If they don't do it by January 17th, I think it is, the city loses its 4% state aid increase this year. So once you do that, then you have to, you know, have a year for the evaluations to kick in.
We'll continue in a minute with Ken Lovett and your calls, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we continue with the Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett on the things the state legislature will do or leave undone as they prepare to adjourn for the year on Thursday. Before we move on to some other topics, let's get a few more calls in here on this teacher evaluation public release bill, whether or not parents should be able to see the evaluations of their own children's teachers with the names attached, and whether the general public should only be able to see the evaluations in group form, all the second grade teachers or all the teachers in this school without the names attached. Edmund in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Edmund.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess my immediate reaction is I think this is a great compromise. I'm a parent of a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and you know, the idea of seeing my teacher and then seeing the evaluation, I do feel provides the right type of incentive for the teacher to improve. I mean, it's the incentive is clear and present with a relationship that ultimately is the one that matters, which is that between the teacher and the surrogate for the student, which is the parent. And there are lots of questions about, you know, the fairness of testing and the rest of it. I think this is a great compromise. And I do think that, you know, taking it public, having the teachers performance made public individually is perhaps unfair, because there are a lot of qualifiers that might happen, but there's that opportunity can happen in that relationship or in that conversation between the student and the teacher.
Then take me one step further, yeah, hypothetically, because the Cuomo plan would include apparently a request on your part as a parent for voluntary confidentiality after you go in and see this report, to not then, you know, blab to the wider world about what this individual teacher of your child was evaluated as.
It's a great step in the right direction. I think that, look, if I'm a teacher and I'm going to care about that conversation I'm having with that parent, and in a way I'm accountable to that, and I think that's a very, very important piece. And I'm also taking it for granted that that the principal is on top of this and is doing everything he or she should be doing to get the things going in the right, mm-hmm, direction, with all, you know, with the context that matters, i.e., you know, how fair is the testing, et cetera, the track record and whatnot. So I think it's a great compromise, and I'm actually pretty happy about it. The one thing that I would say is having the teacher, or I should say having the parent, go through the principal, I don't think is the right way to do it. I do think you need to make this information readily available so everyone recognizes that it's not going overboard, or it's not a parent who's being unreasonable. Mm-hmm. That it's just par for the course that we get to see your performance, and you're gonna have to have that conversation, and that's a big motivator.
Edmund, thank you very much. Call us again.
Thank you.
Laverne. Bye-bye. In Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laverne.
Hi. I just want to quickly, I don't have any children in the school system. I do have friends that are teachers, and I also have friends that teach teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I just want to remind people that teachers are not convicts on parole, right? They, you know, and I'm not understanding the comment that Bloomberg made that, well, we don't want the teachers to know that the parents came in because they might punish the kid. I don't know what universe Bloomberg lives in, that he thinks a teacher would punish a child, and what kind of punishment would that be if the child's parent came in to find out, you know, to learn about the teacher's performance. I do think that parents should have access to this information. I don't need to know what the public school teachers are doing. I don't have any children in the school system, so I don't think the public has any right to that information, but I do think that the parents have a right to that information. But the people that I know that are teachers are not doing this for the money. They're not doing this for the money. I have friends that are going to get their master's in teaching, and trust me, this is not a profession they chose because they
right.
want to get riches.
Right.
Because
I mean,
they love
it. There's a certain
because
security.
Because they love it, and they want to do it. And so, yes, I think that it is yes. a step in the right direction, but I just think we need to remember that. And, you know, growing up in Jersey, which has a great school system, as far as growing up in the public school system here, if you're involved in the school, you have relationships with the teachers anyway, and mm-hmm. it's more like a community. So they know the teachers anyway, and sometimes they do share information about which math teacher is good, which math teacher is
right.
not. So and that is what is missing in New York. That's the problem in
right.
New York City.
So you're kind of offended by the tone of the whole thing where, as you say, teachers
yeah.
are almost assumed to be criminals or suspects.
Yes.
But like the previous caller who's, you know, coming from a different place, it sounds like you like the particulars of the compromise.
Yes, if I think that my sisters and brothers should have access to to my nieces and nephews,
yes.
they should know the performance of their teachers. Yes, they should have access to that, but I don't need to know it. I mean, you know, the public has no right to that information, but I think the compromise is okay.
Laverne, thank you.
Thank
bye. You very much, and you call us again. I really appreciate your call. All right, Ken Lovett, there we have a nice sampling of opinion on the table, and maybe no wonder the governor wants to wait and let this continue to get hashed out for a while and probably not craft a final bill by Thursday. But on the other hand, we saw people coming from fairly different starting points who both feel like, yeah, maybe this is the kind of compromise that's okay. So we'll see. Let me move on. How about the governor's bill to decriminalize the display of small amounts of marijuana? This is his response to the WNYC reporting about stop and frisk and all that flowed from it, that police officers were asking people to empty their pockets and then arresting them for displaying marijuana publicly. which is against the law, even when a cop asks you to do it. Mayor Bloomberg also endorsed the bill. Now I hear that it can't get through. Is that correct?
That is. The state Senate, which is controlled by the Republicans, really don't have an appetite this year to do it. Particularly, it's an election. It's tough. It's an election year. They're already facing a lot of heat for passing gay marriage last year, or for allowing it to pass. And so there's really no appetite for them to take this up. And it's interesting because the Senate Majority Leader, Dean Skelos, when the governor introduced his bill, said, well, we're not really for the decriminalization of pot. We don't really support that. But we do agree that there is a problem with the stop and frisk aspect of this situation, where you can get a criminal, you know, you can be hit with criminal charges, misdemeanor, if a cop asks you to empty your pocket. But if you have it somewhere else in private, then it's only a violation. But even then, he said, that, you know, I think they've gone back and just decided we're not going to take it up this year.
Not for now. Because I heard one compromise might be to decriminalize the display of small amounts of pot only when an officer asks you to display it. Is that narrower version in play?
Well, there's a couple of things. There was also talk that the governor and Senate kind of agreed to a bill, although we never saw it and no one's actually confirmed it, but there was talk that there was a bill they would like to see that would basically deal with the discrepancy we just talked about, while the bill would also have a statement in support of the stop and frisk program overall. But there's little chance that that would get through the assembly because many of the Democrats there, particularly for the minority members from New York City, do not support the stop and frisk program. They think it's racially motivated.
Let's talk now about something the governor is developing that he doesn't need the legislature for, a policy on fracking, which, of course, is the contentious natural gas drilling technique. Ken, I think people are getting fracking fatigue even without actual fracking going on, because the conversation is going on for so long. Of course, groundwater pollution and other possible environmental problems versus the potential for many jobs and an abundant energy source from rock formations in parts of upstate. The governor kind of floated a trial balloon compromise with a leak to the New York Times last week. What's he testing out?
What he's talking about doing is basically moving forward with fracking in parts of the southern tier, which is really economically depressed, but only in communities that want it. So if a community did a home rule message that said, you know, we are opposed to fracking, which a number of them have done in upstate, then they would not have to have hydrofracking. You know, it seemed like a logical thing, but a lot of the environmentalists say, well, why should one community suffer? Why should their health suffer just because they say they want it, as opposed to others who have the good sense to not want it? That's their words, not mine. So even that compromise has been kind of been getting hit from both sides. Meanwhile, the gas industry has indicated that hydrofracking, because New York has waited so long, may not even be as profitable as we thought for upstate because natural gas prices have dropped so low that there are a lot of companies that just may not even dive in headfirst to do it.
It really raises a profound question of the legitimacy of choice, right? If a community is so economically desperate that they want to take this risk on themselves to create jobs, is that choice or is that lack of choice? It's almost like the Hunger Games, you know? Certain neighborhoods can volunteer themselves for a chance to improve their lot, but potentially at a big cost.
Well, yeah, but right now, you know, we hear a lot of criticism of hydrofracking from the environmental groups, but, you know, the President of the United States supports hydrofracking, the EPA supports hydrofracking, and, you know, the governor says he'll only do it if the science shows that it's safe, and that's what his Department of Environmental Conservation is looking into. The feeling is that they'll try and regulate it, you know, to the best they can, that they will keep it to areas, at least at the beginning, almost like a pilot program that wanted to see the effect.
And that, is the debate, is there such a thing as safe fracking? The environmentalist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been kind of on both sides of this, first saying he was interested in safe fracking, then saying he was more doubtful that there could be safe fracking. And I guess what you're saying about a pilot program is what Cuomo wants to do in some of these communities that are willing to have it. If the state puts regulations in place to protect the local water, and this could be a small-scale test to see if safe fracking is possible or if it's an industry lie, then I guess the governor really wants to give something like that a shot.
I think so, and we certainly need something up there. I mean, it really is like Appalachia. You know, people are moving out. There's empty buildings, empty homes. There's no jobs. A lot of the young people are fleeing. And meanwhile, they look over the border into Pennsylvania, and they see this booming industry. And, you know, at least in their eyes, they don't see the any negative effects. And so they're saying, where's our
well,
share?
They also, they also see the movie Gasland with the faucets in Pennsylvania catching fire, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm sure a lot of people in a lot of the local communities upstate that are considering the fracking are very torn. Another thing that the governor is doing for which he doesn't need the legislature, you might call this Yellowstone and Yosemite meet Lower Manhattan. Governors Cuomo and Christie are asking the National Park Service to help get the 9/11 memorial unstuck. Can remind us of the state of things with the memorial?
Well, the memorial itself is open, but the museum that they're building has really, any new work on it has really ground to a halt. There's still stuff going on, but they're not letting out new contracts. There's a huge financial dispute. There's at least $157 million that the Port Authority, which owns the site, the Port Authority of New York, New Jersey, says it's owed by the foundation that's run by Mayor Bloomberg that is going to run the museum and the memorial. You know, the foundation says, no, you know, you're on the hook for that. And meanwhile, the costs keep mounting. According to my sources, and the Port Authority sources have confirmed this, a project that was once scheduled, projected to be about $680 million, is now over $1.3 billion and may reach $1.46 billion. Now, the foundation says those numbers are overinflated by the Port Authority and that they think it'll be more like $710 million. But there's no doubt that, you know, there's a lot of money at stake here, and both sides are saying they don't have it. So what ends up happening is the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, and Governor Christie, who control the Port Authority jointly, have sent a letter to the Interior Department saying, hey, we think that this should be a national, you know, a national site. You know, presidents go there. President Obama was there last week. Congressmen, senators go there. And we think we should get some park money for it to help not only finish the construction, but operate it moving forward. They say it's been done in other areas across the country and that, you know, what was more national than a site of Ground Zero in their eyes.
There's something about these tough guys, Christie and Cuomo, calling a park ranger for help. And with something about 9/11, no less. There's a political cartoon in there somewhere.
The reality is, though, that it's a lot of money. And, you know, we know the state has been dealing with tough economic choices. The governor has said you can't keep raising tolls to pay for this project, no matter how noble a project it is. So where is the money going to come from? Well, they're hoping they found a new pot of money with the idea of the federal government. Now, it should be noted that the foundation had called for this about a year ago and that a bill was introduced in Congress, and it took over a year for Christie and Cuomo to jump on board and back it. The feeling is because the negotiations over the financial dispute are going nowhere, so they've decided now to look for another revenue source.
Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News, keeping his eye on the things that will and won't get done before the state legislature adjourns for the year on Thursday. And I guess now we know the one big thing to keep our eye on that's still unresolved that might get passed or might not is how much to publicly release teacher evaluations from the public schools. Ken, thanks a lot. Really informative. I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, anytime. Be well.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. President Obama and other G20 leaders meeting in Mexico come out with a global jobs program. Is it anything more than a piece of paper from a summit on the beach? Stay tuned.